Good evening and welcome to the Board of Education special meeting at Clay High School of October 24th. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have the roll call, please, Mrs. Ruth?
Certainly. Mr. Shea?
Present.
Mr. Kennedy?
Here.
Mrs. Miller?
Here.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Here. I'm going to open the meeting this evening with just a little statement on my part. You know, there are three directions that a board can take when it comes time to talk finances and the possibility of a levy on the local ballot. We can cut programming and lose momentum for any improvement. We can attempt to maintain the status quo, or we can move forward with course offerings, opportunities, and services for all students while maintaining a living and competitive wage for our employees. The vision for this board has always been the latter option. Our normal cycle for placing a levy on the ballot has been 3 years because of inflation and unfunded mandates by the state and or federal government, even as they have decreased our funding. On the advice of our finance committee members, Mr. Zavisky and Mr. Shea, and input from our business advisory board, we have been able to maintain services for 5 years rather than the three without going to our citizens for an increase in millage. The purpose of tonight's meeting is to determine the necessity of placing a levy on the March ballot through board discussion. Mr. Gregory, Mrs. Ruth, and other board members will remain after the meeting if there are any questions currently. Should this board decide to place a levy on the ballot, there will be a number of informational meetings held in the future months to answer any further questions that citizens may have. With that, we're going to go right to item number 4, the levy discussion, and a possible motion to approve a resolution declaring it necessary to levy an additional tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation. And with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Shea, who is now head of our finance committee, would you like to explain a few things to us?
Certainly. Last week, our last board meeting, which was a week ago, Ms. Ruth, who has been working very diligently on our 10-year and 5-year forecasts as we're going, and along with the decisions that we've been making throughout the future, we decided to maintain a stability in our educational system. We noticed that if we wait until an additional length of time, we will be decreasing our income and increasing some of our services that we provide to our students. With that, we had some, you know, long discussions in our meetings, and we decided that this is probably the time in order to place a levy on the ballot so that we can maintain and sustain what we have. We feel that the momentum that is going on right now in our school district is excellent. Our students, our buildings, the facilities are just superb. As you walk through our buildings, we have nothing but well-maintained buildings. People who walk in this building, we had our 50th reunion this year. Some of the alumni were just impressed with the way that our facilities look and how we have them. Impressed with the politeness of our students as they ran into them, and our faculty and maintenance department and custodial buses and cafeteria workers have all worked with us economically over the years to withhold times for taking salary wages, and at this point in time, we feel that a levy on the ballot is what is necessary. So we're doing this in a positive way. We do not want to go with threats. We're not looking to cut. We're looking to maintain what we have. That is the direction that we discussed and that we want to go. So that's about all I have.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do to help clarify for the folks, and maybe Mrs. Fruth, if you could explain that the if the board does make a motion, what the motion tonight would actually represent.
A motion tonight is simply a motion to ask me basically to take whatever millage amount that you decide is necessary to the county auditor, and they will certify the amount that millage will collect. We're in kind of a tricky time zone period in that they do not have the, they just submitted, or maybe they're going to be submitting it Monday to the state auditor's office to get valuation certified. So the estimates that I have provided is based on 2018 valuations, but so it might vary slightly, but that's the best number we have right now. So not to make it complicated, we're simply asking the auditor's office to certify how much whatever you guys decide on will collect for the district.
So if it's okay with you, Mrs. Molnar,
please.
If I could just, I guess, share a few things to consider when we're moving forward. You know, Oregon City Schools, for the last, I've been in the district 17 years, has been kind of through a roller coaster, you know, just like many districts across the region and across the state in terms of finances. You know, through the course of those 17 years, we've had a lot of challenges as a public school district that had forced us to, you know, look at levies, look at our total expenditures, evaluate the revenues, all those types of things that school districts do on a regular basis. And it's the cycle of how the public school funding model is. And no matter what community you live in, you are dealing with situations where levies or new levies are a possibility for your district, and in most cases a reality in the districts. So just so everybody knows what we're talking about, essentially our district has two basic levies that we go to our citizens for, and it's pretty much how many districts do it. We have general operating levies, which is primarily how we have done it really since the 1960s. Permanent one-time levies that, if approved, stay on the books forever or for interning. You know what I mean? They're just on the books permanently as you move forward in the years. And then there's PI levies where you vote for, and that PI levy are for only items that are of permanent improvement. So I guess what I'm trying to do is, this is not a permanent improvement levy. This is a general operating levy that we'll be discussing here. And that is for things like our utilities, for our purchase services, for our personnel costs, wages, salaries, benefits, those types of things. What am I missing, Mrs. Fruth? It's kind of all those general things that are not maintenance of the buildings and
busing,
those types of things.
Busing. Really, the PI tends to be, because we've never put personnel in it, tends to be things with a five-year life that are for the larger buildings and grounds.
Yep.
Whereas we do still have some maintenance and items within the general fund, the salaries of maintenance, some minor repairs, things of that nature,
yeah.
And transportation and our teachers.
So I'm just saying that more or less for the public that's here and for out there. I think the board certainly understands those types of things. So obviously this year in 2020, our revenues and expenditures cross. And what that means is our expenditures are higher than our revenues. And that is when, if you're being fiscally smart and if you're doing what you should be doing as a board and as a superintendent, as a treasurer, you're looking at that forecast going, we need to generate revenue or cut expenditures, right? Those are, Mrs. Molnar explained, options that all districts have. And it's something that we have to consider both sides of that fence. But to where we are now, back when I, just a quick story, been in the district 17 years, but 12 years ago, my first 2 weeks when I was appointed assistant superintendent, was probably a couple of the hardest 2 weeks I think I've ever had to endure, was we had to go talk with 35 to 40 employees and give them their pink slips. And that was at the time when we had to make some major reductions, probably the most we've ever had to do in Oregon, certainly that I'm aware of. Maybe there was further back. So as a community and as a district, we have in the past made significant reductions. So our district was at a place where was at a place we really didn't want the district to be, but it was at a place where we had to be because of our finances. And I think some of those moves were necessary, absolutely. And we've recovered pretty well from those things. But what I will say is we're still a district that hasn't moved too far off the needle from that point. We have adjusted to what our kids need. Our kids are experiencing things different than we all did when we went to school, or most of us in this room did when we went to school. For example, our enrollment has dipped in our elementaries over the last 3 to 4 years, 4 to 5 years. And so we've been able to make adjustments at the elementary level by reducing some of the staff, core staff, but what we felt the necessity to do, and based on community input, we established STEM or STEAM programs in each of our elementaries, which are necessary but cost money. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that's really outside of that. We haven't really added a whole lot of additional personnel cost or anything like that. We're essentially at the same point we were many years ago. But with that, cost of running a district goes up. And so we're going to have a lot more discussion on all that as we move forward. I've got statistics I can share if and when it's appropriate time. But I guess what I would ask, and I think what the point of tonight's meeting is to allow the board to have a discussion on the options for millage. We can look at a 3.95 levy. We can look at a 4.95 levy. We're kind of the two options we were kicking around. They both have pros and cons to the amount in terms of collections. So I guess I just end up with that and say, are there any questions to the board? Are there any comments from the board that they'd be willing to share?
I remember, you know, reducing busing. We've replaced some of that for our high school students. We lost our art teachers the last time. Mm-hmm. Major things, and custodians, the custodians' jobs are mm-hmm. way larger than they ever were because we had to reduce that staffing mm-hmm. too.
Correct. So I don't know, Mr. Shea, if you want to make the recommendation that maybe came out of the Finance Committee meeting.
Okay. Carol, you have that.
We have the rest of the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, if there's discussion,
It's
up to the board.
Keith, do you have anything you want to add at this time?
Or ask?
I guess I have one question in regards to what came out of, was there a limit that was decided upon out of?
We decided to go with the 4.95. We felt that the 3.95 was going to cause us to possibly have to go a little bit sooner for our next levy, and by going with the 4.95, that's going to make the stability out and get us through a longer period of time. And that's the main reason we chose that.
And my only concern about tonight was earlier today, this was supposed to be strictly board discussion, and we weren't going to be voting on anything. Not certain about a couple hours ago, 3 hours ago, we received an update saying that we were going to vote on it. So, you know, my comfort level, not knowing my status moving forward with the board because of my situations on the ballots, is wanting to know a lot more information on as far as what the totals are, what are our plans moving forward in supporting it. I know we need it.
One of the reasons we chose to start the process going right now is because with a March levy, we have to give Hal as much time as he can in the committee for the levy. As much time to be able to present this data to the community. We don't want to blindside it. We're not trying to blindside the community. We're not trying to rush things, but we are dealing with a time span, and we did not want to wait till the summer when people are on vacation. We didn't want to wait till next fall with the general election going on, so we felt we would have more personal time with our people in our community by starting now and generating this levy process and getting it started.
On the 4.95, what would that collect over the course of?
It's the full.
Good question.
The full amount is 2. You know, I can never just round. 2.78 million. So it's right under 2.8 million.
Per year.
For individuals with a $100,000 home, it's $173 for the year. We keep it at $100,000. You know.
$100,000
average.
Yeah. What was it? $173 per.
Yes, $173 for a $100,000 home for the whole year.
And then what does that do to our 10, because our is it our 5 year that we're 60 days under? by the end of year five, is that correct?
Yes, when I, here, I have it right here, and I didn't put the number of days, excuse me.
By fiscal 24.
Fiscal 24, we are still gonna have to look for efficiencies, I'll be honest, to maintain our 30-day cash. You know how our, one of our stability measures is we like to keep 30 to 90 true
right.
cash days at the end of the school year. Even with a 495, we will need to, you know, because we only end up with after, at the end of 2024, we will end up with $960,000 unencumbered cash. So, you know, we still have to, it never ends. There's no business that ever
so
is
we'll
always
be
looking
below
for.
30 days?
Yes, we will
in
be.
In 24?
Mm-hmm. In 23, fiscal year 23-24.
So and again, just, you know, just so everyone knows, when you talk about a forecast, right, in schools, a forecast is such, right?
Yeah,
a forecast is your best guess based on assumptions and knowledge that you know now. A lot of things go into forecasting. I'm sure Mrs. Fruth can go and give you hours worth of information. But here's what we know. I mean, a 495 will cost $173 a year for a $100,000 house or $14 and something change for a month. Just some information for knowledge. Again, 5 years is a legitimate time in between levies. It's actually a very good amount of time in between levies. And again, I'm not getting into comparisons too much tonight, but a 5 year is certainly above our average from our history within Oregon City Schools, and I know it's above quite a few other districts' averages. So when we look at what's happening, I always mention we have deficit spending, and you know, I think, Mr. Kennedy, you're asking kind of like the why behind it a little bit of the 4.95 is the idea that we're starting deficit spending, but we have this negative cash balance coming in 2023, which is always going to happen. So we have two options. We could go for a lower millage, but we're going to probably come back sooner. And it just, it's like, what's the best option that we should go for? Throughout this whole process, we have to look at our efficiencies, as Jane
mm-hmm.
said. We know we have to look at areas that can and should be reduced, and we continue to do that. But at the end of the day, we're not being saved by the gas plant tax abatements that we have. Those are significant. We are very proud and excited to have those, at least one of them for sure, and hopefully a second one come into our district. But they are not alone going to solve any problem we have. It certainly helps. Same kind of goes for open enrollment. You know, we collect on open enrollment into the district quite a bit of money that offsets, is one of the reasons why we do have the lowest millage, voted millage to this point in Lucas County. With 62 mills voted already by this, I've got a little chart here, 62.95. Is our voted millage in Oregon City Schools. And you can go up there all the way up to 135 mills, so for the Lucas County districts and everything in between. So we've been very fiscally responsible and going to the voters only when it's necessary. And the real hope is that we have a lot of momentum going on in Oregon City Schools, and I can talk all day about the reasons that we need to continue to fight for the school district, and obviously the revenue and how we go about collecting it within a school district. We didn't set the stage. We didn't make the rules. The rules are it's a shared state and local partnership. We're about 40% local. Up or down, you know, given on the year, probably more up than down, 40 to 45% local share. You know, if you don't have local support, school districts struggle, you know, and we've been through some of that and understanding why. But I think we've done a great job to love your kids, to take care of your kids, to continue to build for your kids, and that's our mission at the end of the day, and we need your support for that. And so the 495 provided us a little bit more freedom to move forward in the planning and not have to come back sooner.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. And for detail into the forecast, it'll be up on the website, but I do have copies here that have, not everybody likes as much detail as I do, but there's detail in the footnotes and such, and
mm-hmm.
can take a look at that in case that helps people.
Jane, on the second natural gas facility.
Mm-hmm.
That, those amounts of 700,000, 1,050,000, and 1.2 million are in the five-year forecast right now?
They are the, okay, for this year, and we just heard it, economic development, Siderwitz, thank you. He announced that they hope to have the financing done in January of 20. So we hope to have the shovel by spring. So I have the $250,000 that we will be receiving in the forecast for this year. Obviously, that's been pushed back before. It still could be pushed back again. Then for the general fund, it usually takes 3 years for that to actually be built. So for 22, 23, I have the $630,000 in. The entire amount we're being given does not go to the general fund. It goes to the general, the PI, and then we have bond. And you need to split it between all three because those are all tax-based. So I have that in starting in 22, 23, and 23, 24.
But we have no certainty.
Nope.
This is built in.
It's built in.
The 4.9 may not be enough for us because of, from what I'm hearing, it's very possible it doesn't go in. They don't get financing. You're not,
well, that's not what they
but
presented.
It's not a known.
No, no, no. And that
and
is why we do footnotes.
Something that we
that's why that's in the footnotes.
Into.
Well, when you're told by the city administrator that it's, what, at least 98% sure, I felt like, well, okay, it can always be taken out because heaven knows I've pushed it back. Even with the first one, I had to push it back several times because we're going to get it. We're going to get it. You know, it gets pushed back. So I have that in the footnotes. You're absolutely right. It could totally fizzle, but at this point, we believe it's
well. And again, as I mentioned earlier, forecast is trends and assumptions.
Yeah, it's what we know today.
Yep,
I'm not.
It's what you know today.
I'm not going to. Yeah, it's trends. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
And right, and today we don't have that money, correct?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Nope. Nope.
One thing I like to say is the important thing that we have here is this Board of Education has been elected to represent our students in our district as we feel sound. We are offering the city the opportunity to continue to have what we have by putting this levy on. We are only as many votes that live in the community. The rest of the community has got to support us, and that's what we're asking for, your support. We're not dictators up here. We are providing the knowledge base that we have with us that is here with our committees and the five of us on the choices that we're making. We are asking to keep Oregon City Schools as Oregon City Schools is now and even better, and that's why we're asking for 495. So we want you to join us in this journey to get this levy passed in March so that we can keep our students on the athletic fields, in the classrooms, performing at the levels that we're performing now. We're not threatening to cut these things. We want them to continue and get better is what we're offering to you. So please join us, get the word out, get as many people to these meetings that Hal is going to have so that we can fine tune the answers that you might want to have to convince you to vote for our levy. Like that's where I stand right now. So,
yep.
Carol, if you'd like to make the motion.
Oh, I don't know. We got Heather.
Excuse me.
How long will the 495 sustain us?
Well, it will sustain us through at least 23-24. I mean, pending, I can't promise the state. I can't go beyond next year with the state. You never know what they're going to do. But that's what we're looking at this point. And if we continue to look for efficiencies, I will just keep saying that. And so, you know, I mean, we don't know. We'll work through what we need to work. I mean, it's an estimate.
See, one of the
I struggle one, to say
again
it's exact.
Going back to the question of why we need the levy. Last levy we had, which was 5 years ago, we waited 8 years. Or it was 8 years till we had the opportunity to pass one, however you want to look at it. And we got criticized for waiting too long and not doing things quicker and not doing things, right? I mean, when you go for a levy in any community, it's frustrating. It can be very difficult. On the other hand, it can be very positive because it's a time that you get a chance to really support your biggest asset in your community. And your biggest asset in your community is your kids. our kids. We had a strong showing last time about at our last levy in a passage, and that was because we proved and we began to regain the trust of the community from the previous 8 years when that trust wasn't there. And I think over the last 5 years, I hope that the community, we feel we've worked to regain that trust, to continue to regain that trust. I can guarantee you, to everyone in this room, we will be as transparent and honest as anyone can be. Our books are all public record. We get requests for those records all the time. It'll be on the front page of the press. It'll be in the Blade. It'll be on Channel 13, Channel 11, just like it was last time. And that's okay, because it fosters transparency and questions. And I tell you, for one, I'm not afraid to answer any one of those questions. We will be challenged on things, and we will respond in an honest and open answer. You may not like the answer. You may not like the decision. That's any school district anywhere in Ohio or anywhere in the country. But at the end of the day, we're asking for the support of the community, because it's the only way a school district can move forward. Without the support of the community, then that, you know, I like to say the health of the schools is the health of the community, right? I heard that phrase today at a meeting. I loved it. Right? The health of the school district is the health of the community. We are healthy right now. We are strong. We're working out every day. We're up to probably 3 miles. All right? We're working hard in this district, and we're going to continue. We're going to try to get to 10 miles and maybe a marathon. You just never know. You know, it's a big organization with a lot of moving parts. But at the end of the day, we need our community, and I guess I will continue to trumpet it, and I will answer questions along with Mrs. Fruth and any of the board members that have questions. I understand there's philosophy differences. Even on this board sitting right here, there's philosophy differences. That's okay. But at the end of the day, we need a levy. Whatever amount we get to. So if it's a lower amount, we got to come back sooner. It's just the way it is. If it's a higher amount, we can go out longer. It's how it is in every district. So,
Mrs. Fruth, there was a question came up about the pay-to-play, and there's a district who has eliminated that. Could you tell us how that district can eliminate pay-to-play? What do they do?
Oh, well, I'm close to Tiffin. Tiffin has, I think it's the second largest cross-country meet in the country. It might even be the biggest. And they make considerable funds from that, and that keeps their athletic budget in the black. They have never, ever, ever transferred money from the general fund into their athletic budget. Their shirt sales are through the roof. I know when my kids went to college, every third person had a Tiffin Carnival shirt on,
sure,
because that's how,
yeah,
it works. You know,
we're running
it's
that
pretty
one too.
Cool. And so that is how they keep their athletic department in the black. And so their pay to participate has been used to keep their, to pay, to offset the cost of the coaching, which is, you know, completely in the general fund. And so obviously they did not feel they needed that anymore in their general fund. So that's the difference. But so ours is, we have been transferring ours to help with the expenses of the athletic
so
fund.
So if we were going to eliminate that, we would have to have some sort of a large fundraiser to offset what the kids pay, correct?
Well, that's one approach. Yes, it's not for me to say, but that's the way.
That's the way
Tiffin City Schools keeps their athletic in the black with
or
that
large
huge,
donation, large
huge
donation from some entity.
Sure.
Huge fundraiser, and that's a big one.
Okay.
If you've ever been to it, it's incredible.
Further questions, Mr. Zavisky? Mr. Kennedy.
No, just obviously we need a levy. We want to support the students. I just, a caveat prior to my vote is I definitely want to have a lot more discussion around this, because I don't even know if 4.9 is going to do what we need moving forward.
Yep.
And the 10-year, if we're going to be below 30 days.
And Mrs. Fruth.
I mean, we've done a great job staying off the ballot for 5 years.
Yep.
But now if this takes us, what, 21, we start collecting?
Yes, we start in 21. And
so then we'd be 3 years and we still haven't essentially broken even.
Yeah.
With the 4.95, right? I mean, that's what I heard from the question. So.
If you look at the forecast as it is right now, the numbers on the piece of paper, yes. Now, we know we have to look for efficiencies.
And funding can change.
And funding can change. And, you know, there's assumptions for how much insurance plans will go up, and those
we tend to
aren't
beat those,
exact, because you don't know, right? No one can predict the future or change the past. You know, you kind of, you know what you know at the moment, and then you work to. So working together with the Board of Education year in, year out, month in, month out, that's our job. And, you know, to be honest, we have had levies from point, this is from memory now, but from anywhere from like a 0.5 levy all the way up to what?
There's one with a 7.
7,
I
and several 5.9s, several 2.9s, several 3.9s. It's been kind of all over the map since 1963 when it first all started. So there was a time where 5.9s passed. You know, they understood that time. You know, we worked very hard to get a 3.9 last time. So I don't think we're out of the range of numbers. I mean, you know, you can compare to other districts and our numbers are low. You can compare to some district and the number's high. Again, anyone can find any comparison for whatever angle they're shooting at. But at the end of the day, the numbers are the numbers, the facts are the facts, and that's what we're going to share with our public. So I guess right now, coming out of the Finance Committee, it was a 4.9. If that changes, because again, we're not necessarily saying that's the final number tonight, Mrs. Fruth, am I saying
that? That's correct, but we would have to have another board meeting to get the certification from the auditor, because it takes two board meetings or two motions to get a levy on the ballot.
And my understanding is December 17th or
December 18th is the deadline to have everything
together. Would be the deadline
for
us to do it for the March, if that's what the board still is choosing to do.
Hey, and I had just found this out. I didn't mean to be rude, but I just found this out, and I guess it's common. I shouldn't have just found it out. Let's put it that way. But the March levy is the presidential primary.
Correct.
So it's actually compared to the May. May would be, wait, was it May or August?
It was May.
Okay, August.
August
is
still
available. But August would be the second one.
Yep.
August would be a much more expensive levy for the board to be on. We're going to be on, you know, with obviously the presidential primary would be a big deal. So I just wanted to. That's one of the, I just heard, another plus for
it's
going
another
in
pro,
March,
yeah, for the March.
It will get, that will certainly bring people to the polls, I assume.
Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm. I do have one further question. We have not increased, except one administrator, is that exact? We hired an assistant at the high school because of our digital academy and the changes in the attendance that the state has put on us. We needed somebody who could take that over. So we did hire one administrator, correct?
Yeah, the question of administration comes up at every levy campaign, always. You know, when you look at total administration, listen, leadership is the key to everything. Teaching and leadership is the key to everything. People, individuals are a key to everything. So the high school has been running a pretty smooth ship for a lot of time, but at the height of capacity for a long time. I mean, you can talk to Mr. Jersky and anybody that's ever been in the high school, the intensity and the overwhelming mandates that come down to the high school. So 2 years ago, through a lot of discussion with Mr. Jersky you know, show me the data, show me why, show me, you know, dot, 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 dot. We made a decision together that we would add a second high school assistant principal to just help with the overwhelming amount of work, with the goal of the OCS Academy being one of the primary focuses, which is to keep our own kids within our building, provide them another option for education, which is online, that we used to have kids leave our school for. And when our students left our school, so did $6,000 every time a kid left our school. Now we are, and I've got stats on how successful that is, retaining those kids, certainly. And it is almost probably, we can break this down in one of our talks, I don't have it tonight, paying for itself. Don't know that for sure, but it's certainly making a dent in the salary if it's not paying for itself. So that was one of the reasons that we felt justified at the time to bring in that second assistant principal. The only other administrator is right now. We hired a director of reporting, information and reporting, to offset our retiring, it's under a certificated or a teacher contract, EMIS coordinator. And that has already paid huge dividends for us. And so that's good. That would be the only other, to my knowledge, I'd have to go through administrator that we've hired, other than changeover.
Exactly. We've had
other than changeover. yes.
But so we've been pretty frugal with that also.
Consistent, for sure. Yep.
Further discussion?
Any other board questions on anything like that? So, Mrs. Fruth, you would need Mrs. Monar to read the...
I would,
or
if you would like to read it
to?
Or a motion to read through
okay.
that. It's just the shortened version of the full resolution because
okay.
it's like two pages.
Then I will make the motion declaring the necessity of levying an additional tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation for the purpose of paying current operating expenses of the school district to be placed on the March 17th, 2020 election. Additional tax will be on the 2020 duplicate and begin collection in 2021. If a majority of the elector vote in favor of that levy, this resolution authorizes the treasurer to certify a copy of formal resolution to the Lucas County Auditor to certify the valuation and dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by a levy if approved by the voters. That would be a 4.95 mils. I made the motion. Is there a second?
So moved.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I have a quick comment. I'm a little thrown off that we're voting on this tonight. Actually, the original agenda, as Keith said, came out as just levy discussion. 2 hours ago, it came out to have a vote. There really hasn't been any open, frank discussion leading into this. When I chaired the finance committee, you know, we brought forward, we had, you know, Jane had some really good templates that we used to show different scenarios and options and timing, and you know, we talked about that openly. To me, we need levy, but just a lot to digest in a little bit with really no information besides the five-year forecast and notes and details that came out without any significant really discussion on it.
Can I have?
I have that stuff if we want to look at it.
Well,
I didn't prepare it ahead.
A couple things. One, we don't have to vote on this tonight. Just put it out there. We can have another meeting. We have time before this December 17th or 18th date. Mm-hmm. But I would ask that each board member commit right now to having open discussions about it. Together, collectively.
I'm there.
Absolutely.
That everyone would show up and be there.
Communication is only as good as having people communicate. So I am more than willing to talk and transpire and do anything I can to share information, transparency, all that. I think all the board members are too.
Is that your wish, Mr. Zavisky?
I just had a comment, that's all.
Well, if you would prefer to do that.
I made my statement. I'm good.
Okay, well, we have a motion. We have a motion on the table.
Motion,
so
second, so we're ready for a roll call.
Yep.
Okay, Mrs. Molnar?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
I want a lot more discussion prior to it being put on the ballot, please, as a board. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, but more discussion. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry,
yes.
I wasn't.
Got
okay.
it.
Yep.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
And Mr. Zavisky.
No.
Okay.
And there will be a lot more discussion. We'll have a lot to go through and a lot to look at. Is there any necessity for an executive session this evening? Hearing none. I need a motion to close the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Thank you, everyone.